want to go to a party with me?
No, the game's on.
Oh, I almost forgot. I'll be right there.
We like sports and we don't care who knows. From shooting hoops to the Super Bowl.
Do you like sports and don't care who knows? Then CITR Sports needs you. If you like sports, are into radio, or generally just want to have a great time, then come join us. Email our sports coordinator at sports101@citr.ca to find out more, or come by the station in the new sub. See you soon.
Watch, cause I'm the man.
Tonight, we take pleasure in bringing you Suspense, a weekly anthology of notable melodramas from stage and screen, fiction and radio, presented each week to bring you to the edge of your chair, to keep you in suspense.
Excuse me, Professor Holden? John Holden?
Well, even if I wasn't, I'd be tempted to say I was.
Professor Holden, I'm Joanna Harrington.
Harrington? Why, you must be Dr. Harrington's niece.
Yes, that's right.
Ah, your uncle was supposed to meet me here. But I must say that I'm more than satisfied with the way that things have worked out.
Professor Holden, my uncle is dead.
What? I just spoke on the telephone with him 2 days ago. It must have come on quite suddenly.
Quite suddenly, indeed.
Miss Harrington, I'm terribly sorry. I never met your uncle. As you doubtless know, our friendship grew out of letters and the occasional telephone call. I know he was a man of great principles.
Thank you, Professor Holden. Unfortunately, I think it's those very same principles that led to his death.
What happened?
Well, what happened was he fell out of a tree 2 nights ago and broke his neck. At least... Well, that's the official explanation.
You seem unconvinced.
Well, he fell from a tree, to be sure. It's the rest of the story that I don't believe a word of.
Like why a sexagenarian was climbing trees at any time of day, much less at night?
Exactly. I'll tell you about it on the way to your hotel. The police are convinced that what happened was something like this. My uncle was taking his nightly constitutional when he suddenly began to run like mad. Loses his hat and stick and finally shins up a tree. Quite a difficult tree, mind you, growing in the hedgerow. A dead branch gave way. He came down with it and breaks his neck. The next morning, he's found with the most dreadful face of fear on him that could be imagined. Oh, thank you. Of course, what they couldn't explain was the most obvious thing of all. Why was he up a tree in the first place? It was quite evident, of course, that he'd been chased by something. But what? There was talk of savage dogs or a beast escape from a menagerie, but no evidence to support such talk.
Not even tracks?
Not a one.
So he was chased by something that doesn't leave tracks?
Apparently so.
I could be wrong. But it seems like you have your own ideas on what caused your uncle's death.
Well, of course I do. But you'll think me mad if I share them.
You might be surprised. Try me.
Oh, right. I think it's related to that book my uncle recently reviewed.
The History of Witchcraft? What about it?
Well, a few days ago, the author, Julian Carswell, paid my uncle a visit.
Not happy with the review, I imagine.
No. Carswell seemed almost indifferent to that.
Really? I'm surprised. After all, it was rather scathing.
The review was fair. In point of style and form, The History of Witchcraft was truly hopeless. It deserved the pulverizing it got. But aside from that, the book was evil. A true reflection of its author, I believe. Oh, Professor Holden, do you know why my uncle urged you so strongly to come here?
Only that he had undertaken an investigation and was in desperate need of my assistance.
And that's all he told you?
It was all he needed to say. He wanted my help, and in my experience, Dr. Harrington was not one to make such a request lightly.
Oh. The subject of his investigation was Julian Carswell himself. for my uncle was increasingly convinced that Carswell's interest in the dark arts was more than scholarly.
Meaning he thought Carswell was a sorcerer? Oh, come on.
Well, scoff if you want, but my uncle believed it and made certain inquiries. Inquiries that brought Carswell to his very door. And 3 days later, he was dead.
Miss Harrington, I don't believe in ghosts and goblins. But if your uncle felt there was something worth looking into regarding Carswell, then the least I can do is pick up where he left off. See the investigation through.
Oh, thank you, Professor Holden. He would so have appreciated that. I have his notes with me.
All right. I'll start first thing in the morning. Apparently this Carswell character lives in Lufford Abbey, Warwickshire.
Indeed he does.
Excuse me?
I said indeed he does. Julian Carswell resides in Lufford Abbey, Warwickshire.
And just how would you know that, Mr.
Carswell. Julian Carswell.
I'm rather surprised, Mr. Carswell. From what I've been reading about you, I would have expected you to just appear in a puff of white smoke.
Oh, dear me. White smoke? No, not white, Professor Holden.
You know my name.
Of course. I came here looking for you.
Should I be flattered?
Not really. I understand that you're continuing Dr. Harrington's investigation into my affairs.
And how do you know that? Did a little demon tell you?
Yes, actually. But that's neither here nor there.
Then what is?
You know, I was sorry to hear of Dr. Harrington's demise. He was a man of great principles.
I didn't realize you knew him.
Oh, I didn't. But it seems the appropriately generic sort of thing to say about a deceased person whom one didn't actually know. I mean, who wouldn't like to be remembered as a man of great principles, yes?
I suppose.
Is that how you would like to be remembered, Professor Holden?
Is that a threat?
A threat? Why? Does it sound like a threat?
Yes, I do believe it does.
Oh, Professor, I'm just a simple country gentleman with simple beliefs.
Who has amassed one of the largest fortunes in England by bilking the slow-witted?
Oh, if others who share my beliefs choose to offer me financial remuneration, who am I to deny them that small pleasure?
Yes, it's definitely not some sort of shakedown racket you're running, Carswell.
Oh, shakedown racket? And what would I shake them down with, Professor? Are you granting some measure of credence to my beliefs?
Hardly. But the power of suggestion can make even the most ridiculous constructs of the imagination seem as real as a hammer blow to the simple and ignorant.
Then there's no point in concerning yourself with my ridiculous constructs of the imagination, then, is there? Certainly no point worth wasting what precious time you have left in life, at any rate.
Time I have left in life? Do you know something that I don't, Carswell?
A great many things, Professor Holden. So please, I do urge you to abandon this investigation into my personal business.
I'm sorry, but Dr. Harrington felt it was a thing worth doing. I would be dishonoring the memory of a respected colleague by simply tossing it away.
Oh well, so be it. If you're determined to go forward with your studies, then allow me to present you with this.
A copy of your book?
You may find it quite informative. I've even inscribed it for you.
Your autograph?
Of a sort. But please, do wait until after I've left to read it, will you?
You don't strike me as the bashful sort.
I told you, Professor. I'm just a simple country gentleman, and we're all retiring swords, don't you know?
Uh-huh.
Well, I shall leave you to your studies. Good day, Professor Holden.
Good day, Mr. Carswell. History of witchcraft, huh? Oh, what's this? 3 days. 3 days? Until what?
They're not sure. Well, of course I'm sure, only... Well, I...
A bit on the skinny side, eh?
Well, I say, steady on.
What was she doing in the past?
Professor Holden, I was glad for your telephone call. Please, won't you come in?
Thank you.
What's the matter with her?
Love at first sight.
And would you care for a drink?
Oh, after the day I've had, most definitely.
Oh, so the investigation is proving difficult.
On the contrary, the investigation came to me.
What?
Carswell looked me up while I was at the library.
Good heavens! However did he know where to find you?
I can only imagine. Quite a sinister chap. Oh, he's all smiles and gentility on the outside, but it's a paper-thin veneer.
My uncle said much the same in regards to his own experience with Carswell. Whatever did he want?
He wanted me to drop my investigation. I refused, of course, and that was that. Even made me a present of his book.
He did? Oh, did it have an inscription?
Yes, that's what I wanted to show you. The inscription read simply...
3 days.
How did you know?
Carswell presented my uncle with a copy as well. Take a look at yours, will you?
All right. What the...
The inscription is gone, isn't it?
Yes. But how?
I don't know, Professor Holden. Perhaps it's better that we don't know.
Are you suggesting that Carswell used his demonic powers to make his inscription disappear? It's nothing more than a simple parlor trick, like disappearing ink.
Possibly. But this is all playing out the very same way it did for my uncle.
So you're telling me that I'll be dead in 3 days?
I don't know, Professor Holden.
Look. If I'm to die in 3 days, could you at least call me John? Professor Holden is my father's name.
Well, I can't very well refuse a doomed man, can I? All right, John. And please call me Joanna.
I would like that, Joanna. Oh, what's this? Something tucked inside the dust cover of Carswell's book.
A piece of parchment?
Yes. Your uncle?
He received one as well.
So you admit you had trouble in finding out.
It appears to have some sort of runic symbols on it.
Yes. Though no one my uncle consulted could decipher them.
Well, it could be an ancient laundry list and it'd have the same effect.
What do you mean?
It's all part of Carswell's little charade. It's the same with tribal witch doctors and shamans the world over. Any time a supposed spell is cast, there is some sort of focal object that holds the secret of the curse. And there's also a specific period of time it takes for the spell to take effect. If it was truly magic, why wouldn't it strike immediately? No. It is all a cleverly calculated ruse preying on the weak-minded, who believe that something will actually happen.
Oh, I do hope you're right.
When I'm still alive, 4 days from now, you'll know.
Just the same, there's someone I'd like you to speak with. One Rand Hobart, a former member of Carswell's cult.
Since Carswell's supposedly a witch, wouldn't it be a coven?
If you like, I can put you in touch with him.
All right. He might be of some use. Where can I find Hobart?
Well, he's in an asylum near Aylesbury.
An asylum?
For the criminally insane, yes.
Ha! I should have known.
Look, he may be of some assistance.
Joanna, if I don't get some sleep, I'm going to be in an asylum for the criminally insane. Good night.
Good night, John. Please let me know when you have more information.
I will. Scouts on. What is that? Oh, that sound. Enough to set my teeth on edge. Boy, I really do need some sleep.
Thank you, children, thank you. Are you enjoying the magic show?
Yay!
Would you like to see one more trick?
Yay!
Are you certain that's what you want?
Yay!
All right, just one more, then it's home to bed, agreed?
Yay!
Very well. Now, I need you all to be perfectly quiet while I concentrate.
Neat gag, Mr. Carswell.
Professor Holden, what a delightful surprise.
Certainly more delightful than that smoke monster of yours was for the kiddies.
Oh, that. You know, it's good to remind the little blighters just what lurks in the dark outside. Or under their beds, for that matter.
Cheap parlor tricks.
You think so? Then how did I do it, Professor Holden?
Well, just because I don't know the answer doesn't mean there isn't one.
You're absolutely right. And there is one. But you wouldn't believe it.
You're right. And speaking of cheap parlor tricks, that's the reason I came.
Looking for pointers?
That bit with the disappearing inscription in the book? How did you do that?
Why, cheap parlor tricks, of course. I'm sorry, a magician never reveals his secrets.
I'm assuming it was some sort of disappearing ink.
Oh, there you go, then. You've already got a solution. Best just to stick with that one.
Then it's as real as that bogus 3 days threat.
Every bit as real, yes.
I'm not one of your slack-jawed followers, Carswell. Sorry to disappoint you, but I didn't faint dead away on reading the inscription or finding that bit of parchment.
Oh, you found the parchment, did you? Jolly good.
I'm tempted to take a match to it right here and now, just to show you how little regard I have for your hocus-pocus.
No, you mustn't do that. The parchment spells your doom, but not until tomorrow at midnight. If anything should happen to the parchment before then, well, that doom will befall you instantly.
And what doom would that be?
Being torn limb from limb by a demon.
I see.
You asked, and I told you.
Well, since I won't get anything but superstitious nonsense from you, good night, Mr. Carswell.
Oh, I'd prefer not to shake hands, if you don't mind.
Why?
I have a cold.
If I'm to be torn limb from limb tomorrow night, I think I can risk a runny nose.
Would you like me to put on the walkway light for you as you leave? I mean, it's as dark as a tomb now, and I know all too well what haunts the night.
No, that's all right. If it gets too dark, I have some matches. Good night, Mr. Carswell.
Goodbye, Professor Holden.
Carswell may be a world-class charlatan, but he was right about one thing. It is dark as a tomb out here. Well, since I've got the match lit anyway, why not set it to this ridiculous parchment? What the devil? That sound again. Only much louder this time. All right! All right! So, maybe I should leave the parchment alone for now. But I do need to find out more about it. And perhaps Mr. Rand Hobart has the answers. Thank you for arranging this on such short notice, Joanna.
Given the circumstances, short notice might be our only notice.
Starting to wonder if you might be right.
Come in.
John, this is Dr. O'Brien. Doctor, this is Professor Holden.
Pleased to meet you, Doctor.
My pleasure, Professor. When Miss Harrington called me this morning, I was more than happy to oblige. I completely understand the urgency of this matter.
Dr. O'Brien's assistance was crucial in my uncle's studies. He used hypnosis in our interviews of Hobart.
Hypnosis?
It's the only means of getting anything remotely comprehensible from Hobart.
Outside the hypnotic state, he's a raving lunatic, and has been since the day he was committed. Strangled a man with his bare hands. That's why I keep him in restraints, even while under hypnosis. If you please follow me, I've already placed Hobart under. All we have to do is transfer control over to you.
How does this work?
Once I make the transfer, he'll only hear you. You can ask Hobart any question you would ask of a waking man. His senses are all fully functional. It's simply that his use of them is under your control.
All right, I think I have it.
Rand Hobart, this is Dr. O'Brien. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Hobart, I'm turning control over to Professor Holden. You will only hear his voice. Do you understand?
I understand.
He's all yours, Professor.
Hobart, this is Professor Holden. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Do you know Julian Carswell?
Yes.
How long have you known Carswell?
7 years.
Were you a member of his cult?
Yes.
Then you are familiar with the ceremonies and rituals of the cult?
Yes.
Hobart, I'm going to hold a piece of paper up in front of your eyes. I want you to tell me what it is. Do you understand?
Yes.
Now, look at the paper.
No. The runes! The runes!
What are the runes?
Summon up demon.
How? How?
Must pass unawares. You can't make me take them. I won't let you slip them back. I'll kill you first.
Try to turn him back over to me.
Hobart, I'm turning you over to Dr. O'Brien.
I'll kill you like I killed Hyde when he tried to pass them back.
Hobart, I am turning you over to Dr.
I'll kill you! I'll kill you!
It's no use.
I'll kill you!
He's gone.
I'll kill you!
Probably for good.
I'll kill you!
You and Miss Harrington.
I'll kill you! 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 I'll kill you!
Who's there? Holden?
Yes, Holden.
What brings you here, Professor? You should know that nighttime hunting is prohibited throughout the United Kingdom.
Oh, this shotgun isn't for any pheasant. And I might ask, what brings you here? A perfectly good abbey not a mile away, and here you sit in this squalid little hut.
Well, sometimes it's nice to get away from home for a night.
Particularly when you're afraid of unwelcome visitors who might take umbrage at being cursed.
Oh, but you don't believe in curses and other such foolishness, Professor Holden. Isn't that what you keep telling me?
Well, maybe you've made a believer out of me. Maybe I'd even like to join your cult. I'm quite well off financially, and I do know how much you love money.
Oh, it's far too late for that. The die is cast.
Then uncast it.
Can't be done. In just 5 minutes, you'll be receiving an unwelcome visitor of your own.
Look, Carswell, here's your book and your parchment. Take them and bring an end to this.
No, I don't think I'll do that. Besides, the end will come soon enough. Oh, are you going to shoot me, Professor? A man of science falling into primitive beliefs and committing murder in the same evening? How unbecoming.
I'm not going to shoot you. This is just to make sure you're right here when the demon comes for me. I've been doing some reading, Carswell. Without the protection of your magic circle, you're as likely as I am to be torn to pieces at midnight.
See? It's a good thing I gave you that book after all, or else you'd never have known that useful bit of information.
You're going to be right here at midnight, or else you'll be dead on the floor. At this range, I can't miss.
I'm not going to stay.
You will.
No. No, I won't. I won't. I
And now, Professor Holden, I think it's time for you to leave. Or else, as you say, you'll be dead on the floor.
Do your worst.
I already have. Would you prefer to wait for that particularly unpleasant fate? Or shall I kill you now?
No. Kill me now.
Oh, well. Not exactly the finale I was hoping for, but you'll still be dead. And really, that's all that matters. What?
Might be a misfire. Try the other barrel.
Nothing.
Maybe open the breech and make sure it's loaded.
Oh, God, in the barrel, the parchment.
Just returning it to its rightful owner.
Do you realize what you've done?
According to the clock on the wall, you have 3 minutes till midnight. It's only a mile. You might be able to make it back to your house and the safety of your magic circle.
Oh, but...
2 minutes and 50 seconds. Running slow. Goodbye, Carswell.
So ends Casting the Runes by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes. Tonight's story of Suspense. Suspense is produced by Blue Hours Productions and recorded at Melrose Music in Hollywood, California. Tonight's radio drama was adapted for radio by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes from the short story by M.R. James. David Blue was Dr. John Holden. Hayden Black was Julian Carswell. Adrian Wilkinson was Joanna Harrington. Sean Hackman was Rand Hobart. And Dan Flood was Dr. O'Brien. I'm your host, Damon Crawl. Next week at this time, tune in again for another study in suspense.
Out there will be smashed to bits. Use your emergency equipment.
It won't work. Nothing works. It's got to. It's no use. Everything seems to be stuck.
My life's worth a try anyway. Come on, fellas. You can make it.
Just listen to this. Spider-Man saves freighter. You can't tell me the captain couldn't have brought his ship in without the help of that publicity-seeking show-off, Spider-Man!
Don't get caught wasting power. Unplug cell phone, camera, and other battery chargers when charging is complete. Many electronic devices continue to use power even when you are not operating them. The amount of energy consumed by electronics in a year when they were not in use could power Whistler Blackcomb Resorts for 43 years. This Power Smart play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
MRG Concerts presents Doom Soul songstress Cold Specs on her Fool's Paradise World Tour with special guest L.A. Timpa. They'll be at the Fox Cabaret on November 20th. Tickets are on sale now at mrgconcerts.com and at Red Cat Records.
Baby, it's nothing anyway.
Tonight, we take pleasure in bringing you Suspense, a weekly anthology of notable melodramas from stage and screen, fiction and radio, presented each week to bring you to the edge of your chair, to keep you in suspense.
Mr. Harker?
Professor Van Helsing.
Hey, it is good to see you, old friend.
Yes, it is good to see you as well, Abraham. But I am afraid this is not a social visit.
No, I thought it unlikely that it was, given the hour.
My apologies for that.
No apologies necessary, Jonathan. Please, come in. Please, sit. You came directly from the docks?
As soon as I disembarked, yes.
How are Mina and young Quincy?
Well, it is in regards to them that I am here.
They are unharmed, I hope.
Yes, despite the best efforts of a hired assassin.
Tell me.
Well, 4 days ago, Mina and Quincy were attacked in our home by a hooded assailant. Had I not come home unexpectedly, well, I was able to thwart his plans and even managed to capture him briefly. But the blackguard made good his escape. But not before I forced him to reveal who had hired him. One, Maritza Draculea of Transylvania.
Draculea. And we did not completely clear out that nest of vipers in Castle Dracula 10 years ago.
It seems not. But how could we have missed any of them? We searched Castle Dracula from tower to dungeon and then dynamited the damnable place.
And yet we did miss one. Dracula had more than one lair. And this bride, if that is in fact what she is, was astute enough to flee before doom overtook the others. You are here to ask me to help you finish it,
I am. Mina and Quincy will never be safe until that she-demon is sent to hell where she belongs. And I can't do it alone.
Nor do you have to. Of course, my friend, I will go with you.
Oh, thank you, Abraham.
I presume you have secreted Mina and Quincy away?
Yes, yes, yes. They're safe. At least as safe as they can be.
Have you spoken with our former comrades, Dr. Seward and Lord Godalming? They were of invaluable service in the dispatching of Dracula and his minions. We could use their steel if they're willing. Oh.
They're dead, Abraham. Murdered in their sleep.
Mein God. They were brave men. They deserve better than such an inglorious death.
As soon as I had seen to the security of my family, I went looking for Jack and Art. But clearly, Maritza Draculea's assassin got them first.
Then we have two reasons to hunt this Maritza Draculea down. To safeguard Mina and Quincy, and to avenge our friends.
But where do we even begin to search for her?
Besides Castle Dracula, the Count had several other strongholds throughout the Carpathian Mountains, all in ruins, but suitable enough for the purposes of the undead. However, there is one in particular that stands out. Isolated, massive, looming atop a precipice on the plateau of Mount Satate.
Do you think that is where we'll find Maritza Draculea?
If I was a vampire, it would be my choice. Castle Ponari.
If you were a vampire, my friend, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
True enough, Jonathan, true enough. Very well. We leave for Transylvania first thing in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Arafu.
Thank you, driver. Well, this is our final destination, Jonathan.
Good luck, Professor.
You seem rather taken aback by the rustic surroundings. If I didn't know better, I'd swear this was your first trip to Transylvania.
No. Rustic is one thing, but this... It feels as if we've gone back in time 400 years.
That may be more accurate than you realize, my friend. Very little has changed here since Vlad Tepish held the throne in the 15th century. It is a land held thrall by superstition. And for good reason. Their beliefs in the horrors that haunt the night are based in fact.
Yes. From here, how far is it to Castle Ponari?
Perhaps 4 miles. If you look closely, you can see it just there, to the northeast.
Ah, it's hard to make out in the dimming light, but I see it. Low and brooding atop that mountain. Oh, it looks like quite a climb.
It is. We need to leave at Cock's Crow to give ourselves as much time as possible to hunt down Maritza D'Aquilea. So, let's get settled and prepare ourselves.
Yes?
You would like a room for the evening?
Too late.
Thank you. What can you tell us about the castle overlooking Arafu? Not used to tourists, I expect.
This village has most likely never seen a visitor for more than 50 miles away. And when you consider they are a suspicious people by nature, a reaction does not surprise me. Come, come. It has been an arduous 3 days of travel. We should have supper. Discuss our plan of attack.
Jonathan Harker.
What? Who's that?
I am she whom you seek.
Maritza D'Aquilea? But how? Is this a dream?
A dream, yes. But a dream in which we both take part.
But how?
Even if I explained, you would not understand.
Then tell me something I will understand. Why did you try to kill my wife and child?
I didn't. That was never the intention.
Then what was your intention?
I needed to give you a reason to come to Ponari.
Then this is where you're hiding.
Yes, Van Helsing was right. But I am not hiding. I am waiting.
Waiting? So the attack on Mina and Quincy were merely a ruse. Nothing more than a means of luring me to Ponari in order to exact revenge against me.
Revenge against you? Whatever for?
For the destruction of your master.
Oh, my master? No, hardly. But I must admit to a certain curiosity about you, Mr. Harker. Any man capable of resisting the will of the sisters and of helping to lay low the mighty Count Dracula is a singular man indeed.
I'm not susceptible to flattery.
Oh, of course you are. You are a man, after all, and as such you are susceptible to many things. Until we meet, Jonathan Harker. Until we meet.
Jonathan, are you all right?
Yes, Abraham.
Did you have a bad dream?
Very. She knows we're coming.
Maritza D'Aquilea?
Yes.
She has invaded your dreams.
Yes.
Then she is more powerful than I had anticipated. There. She is most likely done with you for this evening. Try to get some sleep. Tomorrow will be a supreme test. for both of us. Finally.
Yes.
I had hoped we would make better time, Jonathan, but it has been 10 years since either of us has done anything like this.
Yes, and the years have not made either of us more fleet of foot, I'm afraid.
But perhaps the wisdom gained with maturity can offset that. Now, the most obvious place for Maritza Draculea to ensconce herself in unholy sleep would be the Detis catacombs beneath the castle. And for that very reason, I suspect she is in a different location.
Yes, but where? She could be anywhere that remains out of direct sunlight, and there look to be many places that fit that description. It's already noon now.
Which means we still have nearly 6 hours before sunset. We have time, Jonathan.
Yes, but if we separate, we can make quicker work of it.
No, not unless the situation becomes dire. Remember, safety in numbers.
Right. Where do we start?
The Southeast Tower. And from there, we shall work our way around the perimeter in a counterclockwise pattern, and then down into the bowels of the castle, if necessary.
Seems sensible enough. Let's begin, shall we?
So you've arrived at last, Mr. Harker. How was the climb?
No.
What is it?
She's in my mind.
What does she want?
What transpires between us is none of Van Helsing's affair.
What do you mean, what transpires between us?
I told you, Mr. Harker, I am curious about you. In fact, I wish to meet you.
Harker? And I wish to meet you, Maritza Draculea. I have a steak all prepared for the occasion.
That doesn't seem a very gentlemanly response to a lady's invitation.
Harker, you are no lady, Hellspawn.
On the contrary, I'm the last of a royal line.
Yes, and that line ends today. Harker!
So, you have no desire to sate your own curiosity?
My own curiosity?
You fell under the spell of the sisters with hardly a struggle, and I am far more alluring than they are.
Harker!
Get a grip on yourself, man. Don't you understand what she's doing?
What?
She is playing for time. The longer she keeps you standing here babbling to yourself, the closer to sunset it becomes.
Yes. Yes, of course you're right, Professor.
If it should happen again, do not take the bait. You know what is at stake here, Jonathan.
Yes.
Nina and Quincy's lives hang in the balance. Come, let's get back to it. And tell me everything she said.
It's nearly 5 o'clock and still no sign of her.
We are in the lower levels now. It is only a matter of time.
Time is one thing we do not have. Less than an hour till sunset. Should we try to make it back to Arafu?
Attempting to climb down these steep mountain trails at speed and dimming light would be an even more certain death than at the hands of Maritza Draculea. The only thing to do is to continue.
My torch is starting to gutter low.
There's another in my pack. Here.
How many more levels do you think there are?
No way to be certain, but I would guess at least one more. Perhaps two.
Then don't you think we should start searching separately? I mean, before it's too late.
No! The only way we have any hope of succeeding and surviving is by staying together.
Oh, you know he's just trying to keep us apart, Jonathan.
Get out of my head, vampire.
Wouldn't you like to be alone with me, Jonathan?
Get out!
Concentrate, man.
I have no desire to harm you, Jonathan.
Of course you do. You're a monster.
Oh, I am a woman. A woman unlike any you have ever known.
Remember, Jonathan, she's trying to distract you.
And at the moment I let my guard down, you will drain every drop of my blood.
No, I won't.
And she is succeeding, liar.
What if I swear?
An oath from a godless wretch. It's worse than useless.
You can trust me in this, Jonathan.
Snap out of it, Harker.
How? How can I possibly trust you?
You have my word as a noblewoman of the House of Draculesti. No harm will come to you from my hand or the hand of any of my servitors.
Even if I believed you, what could we possibly have to talk about?
Come down to me and find out, Jonathan.
We have no time to waste.
No,
Come down to me and find out, Jonathan.
Think of Nina and Quincy, please. We have no time to waste.
Come down to me and find out, Jonathan.
Professor, I think I know where she is.
Where?
Maritza's last words to me were, come down to me and find out, Jonathan. She said down, which would imply that she's at a lower level than what we are now.
Perhaps.
You just said we don't have any time to waste.
And we don't, which makes it imperative that we do not allow ourselves to be led astray.
What makes you so certain that we're being led astray?
Because we are dealing with a creature almost incapable of telling the truth. She will say anything to stall us, to throw us off her trail until it is too late.
Well, I believe her.
In God's name, why?
Because she gave me her word.
Are you mad?
No, but she has some odd interest in me. She just wants to meet me. She swore that she would not harm me in any way.
Some odd interest in you? Jonathan, do you think this is some serving girl to be taken in by your charms?
No. But perhaps there is still some small bit of humanity left in her.
Fool! You know what she is! Are you forgetting why we are here? This is not a social visit! We are here to destroy a mortal threat to your wife and child. Nothing else matters if we fail. What of Mina and Quincy?
I can't.
She wants one thing from you, Jonathan, and you are giving it to her right now. Every second we waste arguing about this is a second closer to her salvation and our doom.
Believe what you want, Van Helsing, but I'm going down to Maritza Draculea, with or without you.
Harker? No. Harker? Harker!
Both legs are broken.
I will come down for you, my friend.
No. No time. Oh, God. Your only chance. Mina and Quincy's only chance. Run. Run while you can.
And leave you to your fate?
My fate. It's already sealed. You will look after them. Won't you?
On my life. Goodbye, Jonathan.
Goodbye, Abraham.
Well, now, finally we can be alone without that dreary Dutchman hovering about.
You tricked me.
Tricked you? Oh, you do wound me. Fear not, Jonathan Harker. I will keep my word. I will not harm you, nor will any of my agents, not even if you plead for it. I understand starvation is a very slow and unpleasant way to die. Unless, of course, you find a quicker way to resolve your dilemma.
May God forgive him.
Forgive him? Your God is the one who should be begging for forgiveness. It is he who placed Harker in harm's way to begin with.
On that, I believe we will have to differ, vampire.
As you will. It is not a difference we will hold for much longer in any case.
Indeed. Come out, and we will settle this now.
There's no pressing need, at least not on my part. With each passing moment, your fate is sealed as surely as that of Jonathan Harker.
Jonathan Harker, whom you lured here to his death?
Fool! This was never about Harker.
No, of course not. It was me all along. You wanted to lure me here to Ponari.
Yes.
And the only way you could be assured of doing that was by using Harker as the unsuspecting bait.
Or his precious little wife and child, to be precise. The attack on them was never meant to succeed. Harker himself learned that, though only too late.
But you knew he would come to me for assistance.
Of course. Who else but the great and noble Abraham Van Helsing could save the Harker family? Only, as it turns out, the great and noble Abraham Van Helsing cannot even save himself.
That remains to be seen.
It will be. Very soon.
In the meantime, humor a dying man. If it was me you wanted all along, I have Lord Godalming and Dr. Seward murdered.
Because they could have complicated my plans. You would have sought their assistance, and having three allies rather than just the weak-willed Harker might have tipped the scales in your favor. Besides, I believe you are working under a misconception, Dutchman. It is true that you are my prize, but Harker, Godalming, and Seward were meant to die as well. They all play the part, though none as great as you.
I see. And as for your motivation, I assume you are one of Dracula's brides.
Not one of. The first. And the only one with enough wit to see the end coming. When he journeyed to England, I knew it would not end well. So I retired to one of his abandoned strongholds here at Castle Ponari. And for 10 long years, I waited, growing in strength, until I knew I could carry out my plan to kill all of you! Harker, go tell me. Seward, they were ordinary men and deserved ordinary death. But you... Oh, you! Oh, I have something very special in mind for you!
Why?
Because I can.
We shall see.
Oh, yes, we shall see. And since you failed to heed your own advice and allowed me to distract you, night is falling.
Fleeing would avail me not in any case. I will flee no further, vampire.
Excellent, Dr. Van Helsing. Shall we begin?
So ends An Assignation at Ponari by John C. Alsadek and Dana Perry Hayes. Tonight's story of Suspense. Suspense is produced by Blue Hours Productions and recorded at Melrose Music in Hollywood, California. Tonight's radio drama was written especially for Suspense by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes. Ellen Dubin was Maritza Draculea. Bill Oberst Jr. was Abraham Van Helsing. Darren Jacobs was Jonathan Harker. Dana Perry Hayes was the innkeeper, and John C. Alzadek was the driver. I'm your host, Damon Crawl. Next week at this time, tune in again for another study in Suspense.
The hardcore stuff is just is fast, very aggressive and loud, you know, music, angry music.
I am your host, Mr. Steeston Mike. Welcome to the Flex Your Head Show on CITR 101.9 FM here in Vancouver. I'm here every Tuesday.
6 to 8 p.m.
Playing some punk and hardcore for you. If you want to hear something, feel free to give me a call at 604-822-2487 or swing by flexyourhead.net and send us an email with a request.
And you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Brian McDonald, and that's all the time that we'll have tonight for Skull Tall. Coming up in a moment, we'll have Canada Post Rock with John. So please, from all of us here in Vancouver, have a safe and happy weekend.